podcast in association with the FWA.
Genuinely wants to spend the rest of his career at Tottenham Hotspur. I think he's mad.
I'm sorry, how can he escape Flash? It's unbelievable.
Mercy.
So this is an obvious snap. It's a team in great form at home against a team who just aren't that good.
I think he'll score some goals in League One in 17-10 any time. Deadly from set pieces and in the air.
Up for manager of the month. They've been phenomenal. They're odds against. Love it.
Subscribe to The Punt on iTunes, listen on Audio Boom, or look out for the link on Twitter or on William Hill's Facebook page.
A big weekend of football coming up, folks, with six live televised games in the Premier League. We're going to get stuck into them all very shortly alongside Derek McGovern and William Hill's Andy XL. To come on the podcast as well this morning, we'll have Joe Prince-Wright, the lead football writer and editor for NBC Sports. We'll speak to Joe about Antonio Conte and about the Champions League, which... kicks back underway midweek. That's all to come on the podcast. We've got Pete Farries, Gav Pushlowski and Al Ross giving their best bets in the Football League, and Sam Norris will deliver his verdict in Europe as well. My name is Dave Kellner. I'll guide you through this podcast with all the latest betting odds with William Hill. But first, as always, we're going to kick off with the Premier League, and it's a warm welcome. A good morning to Derek McGovern. How are you doing, Derek?
Very well, Dave. All well with you, I sincerely hope.
It is indeed. What have you been up to this week, Derek? Anything interesting?
Oh, I'm still trying to come to terms with what happened at Anfield on Sunday, the Liverpool Spurs game. Dear me. They're saying it was a game of two halves. Liverpool dominated the first half, Spurs the second. Looking at the performance of the officials, it was a game of two halves.
Fantastic line to open the podcast. And Andy XL is on the podcast with us as well. Andy, are things going well for William Hill at the moment? Has it been a successful football betting season as far as the Premier League is concerned?
It has been very good, yeah. A very good start to the year, and long may it continue.
I can hear the listeners now.
Yes, I know. And we're all so pleased for Hill.
Yeah.
We can sleep easily in our beds over that.
Let's get stuck into this weekend then. We start off with a big one at Wembley. Spurs versus Arsenal. 12:30 kickoff this one. Spurs are even money to win the game. The draw 11-4. Arsenal 12-5. Harry Kane to score and Spurs to win was 13-8. That's been enhanced to 2-1. And if you fancy Harry Kane and Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang both to score, that was 3-1. That's been enhanced to 9-2. Have these statues of Aubameyang, Henrik Mkhitaryan, Mesut Ozil already been carved out at the Emirates, Andy? They looked good last week, admittedly against an Everton side that looked abysmal.
If you listen to Derek, the statue of Ozil and the actual Ozil are no different.
They move more than Ozil does.
But, yeah, I mean, they have looked good last week, but you see it so often from Arsenal. I listened to Ian Wright in the week and somebody asked him the question, is it the new dawn? And he sort of said, I've seen so many of them, I don't believe in them anymore. So, you know, I'm a bit like that myself as an Arsenal fan. I'm looking back at the derby in the last 10 meetings, Tottenham have only won two of them, so I really can't back them at even money, even though they're the hype of the moment, as it were. So there's been four draws in the last 10, and all four of those have been score draws, which isn't surprising. But I think it might end up in a score draw again.
That's 16-5 if you fancy the game to end all square with both teams scoring in the match. 16-5 here with William Hill. Talk to me, Derek. Talk to me about that 2-2 draw with Liverpool Anfield last weekend. All the action, or the majority of the action, inside those final 10 minutes. And we were texting after this match, Derek, about what it's like to be a Liverpool fan and how you'd rather be a Liverpool fan in that situation where you might not be picking up as many points as you should, but it's entertaining every single week you get to see Liverpool. But Spurs managed to grab a 2-2 draw with them last weekend.
Yeah, well, they did. But, you know, the decisions, the refereeing decisions were atrocious. I don't care what the TV pundits say. Those decisions were atrocious. What you say about Liverpool is correct. I would rather watch Liverpool play like they do now and win nothing than watch Man United And then watch Man United. Let's see Man United won the double. I'd still rather be a Liverpool supporter watching the way they play now. I said this a long time ago. This is not sort of Klopp mania, because I think he's got his faults. I used to say this when Roy Evans was Liverpool manager. They were fantastic to watch. The days when he had the 4-3 matches with Newcastle every time they played under Roy Evans. They were tremendous to watch. They never won anything. Maybe an FA Cup, I think, or a League Cup. But you just, you know, the price of your ticket was gold dust. And I'd rather have that. That's what football is about, entertainment. Say Liverpool win the FA Cup this year, which is what has kept Arsene Wenger in his job. Be a nice day. We'll be happy. We'll celebrate that evening. That's it. Forgotten about it. Who cares? You don't forget sensational performances like Liverpool putting against Man City and the first half against Tottenham. So, yeah, I agree. It's worth a few drop points to see them playing like they're playing.
And we should have an entertaining game here, Derek. It's got all the hallmarks of maybe a 2-2 or a 3-3, this one.
Well, I can't have Arsenal, I'm sorry. You can get evens about an informed Spurs or 12-5 about an Arsenal side that in their last two away games in the Premier League have lost to Bournemouth and Swansea. I know what I'd rather have, another drink. I've just got to go for Spurs. Only wins Arsenal have had on the road in the Premier League this season, but Everton, Burnley and Palace. It's not good enough. Why are they going to win at Spurs? Spurs are evens, and, you know, which shows you that the bookies clearly think the good things, which is the good news, and the bad news is I think the good things too. I think even Spurs is a good thing. I really do. I think Arsenal are so, so beatable.
A couple of quick stats for you as well ahead of this game. Aubameyang, he's got 4 in his last 4 against Tottenham in all competitions, scored once against them in the Champions League when with Dortmund, and 3 in the Europa League against them with Dortmund as well. And Harry Kane, as always, has a sensational record against Arsenal. He's got 6 in his last 6 Premier League games against the Gunners. Only failed to score in one of those, and that was the reverse fixture this season, which Arsenal won 2-0 at the Emirates. Let's move on to Man City versus Leicester. Manchester City 2-9 to win the game. The draw 5-1 with Leicester 11-1. Enhanced odds, Kevin De Bruyne to score and Man City to win. That was 7-5. That's been enhanced to 7-4. And Jamie Vardy to score and Leicester to win was 16-1. That's been enhanced to 25-1. I enjoyed that match against Burnley last week. I enjoyed the way Burnley set up against Manchester City. They had to ride their luck at times, Derek. Raheem Sterling inexplicably missed from 2 yards in that game. But I thought they fully deserved the point, and they showed how Manchester City can be susceptible if you attack them in the right way.
Well, yeah, I mean, there are just beginning to be doubts about City. The last 4 Premier League games, they've failed to win 2 of them. You know, we've got a Champions League tie coming up ahead in midweek, albeit an easier one than you'd expect at that stage. And they're playing a team, Leicester. They've played 7 games in 2018. The only one they've lost in that was against Everton at Everton on transfer deadline day, when the Riyad Mahrez saga was at its height. And in that spell, they've gone to Chelsea and drawn 0-0, by the way, which at the time is probably a better result than it looks now. But they're no mugs, Leicester. And we're used to backing these. We're used to seeing these kind of prices against Man City. And we're used to seeing them cop as well. But I've just got me doubts. You know, if you're going to meet City, I'm guessing just before a Champions League tie would be the time to meet them. Will I be backing Leicester at 11-1? I'm almost tempted, you know. I'm almost tempted because Leicester in recent seasons have got a good record against City. And I think they drew with them earlier in the season in the League Cup as well. But I'm now to play a little bit safer. I'll go for Leicester with a bit of a bit on the handicap, with a bit of a start, and with 2 goals at 5-4. That looks a very big bet. Don't underestimate Leicester. They are still a good side.
Incredibly, City have lost 4 of their 6 Premier League home games against Leicester City. Leicester beat them home and away in their title-winning season. But on the flip side of that, Manchester City are now unbeaten in their last 25 Premier League games at the Etihad, and they've won 20 of those as well. And Riyad Mahrez looks like, and he's going to be missing for this game. He's missing full stop at the moment. It's polarised opinion, I think, Mahrez's behaviour, but I think it's a disgrace. Leicester City have, I know it's a bit of give and take there, but Leicester City have made Riyad Mahrez in terms of his profile, and now he's just it's almost like he's on strike, Andy.
Well, it is, and you can look at, like you say, you can look at it two ways. Both parties have signed a contract. They should stick to it. And the player signed a contract, so he should stick to it. But at the same time, the club shouldn't be really able to just throw people overboard when they want to as well. So you can understand it from both angles. This is the big thing with this game, I think. The fact that Mahrez and the unrest that's caused in that camp. I would have been with Derek about getting interested in Leicester, and I wouldn't necessarily put you off these 5-4 plus two. But it's the weekly game of where can we find value in a Man City game. They've not lost at home. I think they'll win again this time. But you'd probably think there'd be goals in it as well. You wouldn't be surprised if Leicester got one. So City and over 2.5 goals is what I'd be looking at.
Manchester City to win the game and over 2.5 in the match is...
I should specify my City, shouldn't I?
That's short at 4-9, but Manchester City to win and both teams to score, and maybe a bit more meat on the bone there. That's 6-4.
This season isn't going to plan for AC Milan, who splashed the cash in a big way in the summer, but have really struggled to convert that into positive moves in the table. They're fully 10 points behind Inter in the final Champions League spot, and it's not developing into the season that they would have hoped for. That said, they are at least heading in the right direction. They're now unbeaten in 7 games, and I'm keen to be with them this week at a shade of odds on, given they've beaten Inter in the Coppa Italia and Lazio in the league in recent weeks. That's the same Lazio side who put 5 past Milan's opponent Spal just a few weeks ago, and Spal have fallen into the relegation spots after a run of games which has seen them win just once in September. And a meeting with a rejuvenated Milan side is hardly what the doctor ordered for them. They're now 3 points from safety, and with Milan closing in on a Europa League spot, the 10-11 looks fair, and they get my nap vote this weekend.
Huddersfield versus Bournemouth is next. This is a midday kickoff on Sunday. Huddersfield 9-4, the draw 21-10, and Bournemouth 13-10. Laurent de Poitre to score and Huddersfield to win was 4-1. That's been enhanced to 5-1. And Callum Wilson to score and Bournemouth to win was 11-4. That's now 7-2. Huddersfield, Andy, looked doomed. Only picked up 1 point in their last 6. They've lost 5 straight, only scoring once in that run as well. And they had a midweek match against Birmingham that went 120 minutes. And they're meeting Bournemouth at a time where they are enjoying a renaissance as well. So this will be difficult for Huddersfield on Sunday at midday.
Yeah, I mean, the portents of the beginning of the season are all coming back to haunt them now. You know, we feared the worst for them at the beginning of the season. They've done remarkably well in the first half, and now post-Christmas, they're coming back to the level they're probably at. And I can't see them getting out of trouble. And like you say, Bournemouth are arriving, a team in form. Huddersfield seem to be meeting all the teams at the wrong time at the moment, and this is another one. So I'd be with Bournemouth here to win.
13-10, Bournemouth to win the game. I think Eddie Howe, Derek, I know he's had his critics this season, but it's been incredibly impressive how he's managed to turn around Bournemouth's fortunes. They're unbeaten in 7 Premier League games now. They've won the last couple, and he's managed to get the best out of Jordan Ibe. And that front three of Ibe, Junior Stanislas and Callum Wilson, they can rip teams apart, as they showed a couple of weeks ago against Chelsea.
Yeah, they're looking good. I mean, I thought Eddie Howe was a bit of a myth. I can remember earlier in the season I called him Eddie Who, because Bournemouth were really struggling. But they've really come good, and I mean, you know, it's Huddersfield, isn't it? So you know what I'm going to say about this game. Why is it on telly? Although I think we'll be able to be sleeping in on Sunday for this one. Bournemouth will win 13-10. I got an email earlier this week from a Huddersfield fan who listened to the podcast, and he said I was my opposition to Huddersfield is spot on. He said, because they're awful, and if it wasn't for the manager, he probably wouldn't have a point. That's a Huddersfield fan telling me that. I said when they were about 10th a month or so ago, they'd finish bottom. That's the best they can hope for. 13-10 Bournemouth. Looking at the way they've played recently, the teams they've beaten, Bournemouth, it's inconceivable that they won't win this. Yeah, that's still a big price for me.
Those Huddersfield fans, Derek, by the way, they want reminding about what happened at the Vitality earlier in the season as well. Bournemouth beat them 4-0, despite Simon Francis being sent off in the first half in that game. So Bournemouth 13-10, unanimous selection from the team on the podcast. Andy and Derek both with that odds against price. We've got Newcastle United versus Manchester United next. This is 2:15 on Sunday. And Newcastle are 9-2 to win the game. The draw 14-5 with Manchester United 8-13. Dwight Gayle to score and Newcastle to win. That was 17-2. That's been enhanced to 10-1. And Alexis Sanchez to score and Manchester United to win was 8-5. That's been boosted to 2-1. Newcastle have picked up points against Burnley and Palace in their two most recent games, but they haven't won in the league since beating Stoke on New Year's Day. And United, Manchester United, that is, bounced back from that 2-0 loss against Spurs to beat Huddersfield 2-0. There's never been an easier game, Derek, for Jose Mourinho to make a statement, and he did that by dropping Paul Pogba and bringing in Scott McTominay. I think he knows that's a situation that needs a delicate touch, and he's spoken subsequently about Pogba handling that omission from the starting lineup positively, whatever that means, Derek.
Well, yeah, if I was Pogba, I'm surprised Pogba has not rushed to the press with his side of the story, because you've got a player there. I think I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago. He was one of the best in Europe, and certainly his price tag reflects that. And he's being ruined by a manager who's asking him to do things that his game is not suited to. As I said on the podcast a few weeks ago, would you ask Eden Hazard or Lionel Messi to play in a holding midfield role? It's clear to me, to you, and even to Andy, that Paul Pogba is what Paul Pogba's best game is. And it certainly isn't playing next to Nemanja Matic as a holding midfielder. So, you know, if you're going to blame anybody for Paul Pogba's dip in form, blame the manager. He is a busted flush, the manager. Whether that means Newcastle are good things here, I doubt, because I watched them last week against Palace when I went for them, and I thought they were really poor. Palace outclassed them, to be honest. By the way, let's not call Manchester United. Surely they should be called Person-Chester United now. Did you hear that this week? The Prime Minister of Canada pulled up somebody for using the word mankind, and it needed to be person kind. Seriously, this is a serious.
I've not read that story, Derek.
No, yeah, it was on TV a couple of days ago. Incredible, isn't it? So, you know, Person Chester City, Person Chester United, it's just absolute mad. It'll go that way. That's the way we're going. Anyway, that's an aside. That's another argument. I've got to go for United here, because you know what? I always think they're overrated. But watching Newcastle last week, I didn't quite realise how bad they are. You might say this is United, the old enemy. Benitez and Mourinho hate each other. Newcastle fans hate United. The crowd's going to get up for it. But we've been saying that all season, and it just hasn't happened at St James's Park. I can't see United not winning this.
Manchester United 8-13, the selection for Derek. Derek, we're going to introduce the McGovern Minute on next week's podcast, where you just get an opportunity to rant about anything for a minute, and I'm looking forward to that immensely. So that will be introduced in the not-too-distant future. Andy, Derek said even Andy understands that Pogba's a world-class player. I don't know what he meant by that.
I caught that. I did catch
that. Did you catch that? I noticed that as well.
The distressing thing is I agree with him.
What do you make to this game?
What do I make to this game? I think, like Derek says, we've been waiting for Newcastle to get up for home games all season. But if there's one they're going to get up for, it's this one. And they've drawn the last four at home. So in what, not a very creative Man United team, even still after the signings, and the manager's definitely not very creative, I wouldn't be surprised about a draw here again. And just to join in the Pogba debate, he should be playing in a more advanced position. I can't believe, and this is an example of clubs doing it, I can't believe clubs go out and spend a load of money on players with no idea how they're going to fit into a team. So he's trying to fit Sanchez and Pogba and Lingard and Mata all into the same team. Well, he should have thought about that problem before he signed them.
I think it works when you play Pogba and Matic alongside each other against a weak side, but it just doesn't work against teams in the top six, because you need that. You need more defensive stability, and that's why a couple of weeks ago against Spurs, Pogba just looked absolutely lost in that position. So it will be interesting. He will come back in, I'm sure, for this game against Newcastle. Here's a quick stat for you as well. Very interesting stat. Comes from Opta, as most of these stats do on this podcast. Mourinho has never won a Premier League match at St James's Park. He's played 6 matches there, drawn 3 and lost 3. He's managed more away league games at Newcastle without winning than at any other club in his managerial career. So that's a little interesting aside ahead of Newcastle versus Manchester United. 4:30 kick-off on Sunday is Southampton versus Liverpool. Southampton 100-30, the draw 14-5. Liverpool a shade of odds on at 3-4. Guido Carrillo to score and Southampton to win was 11-2. That's been enhanced to 7-1. And Mo Salah, who seems to score every single week, for him to get on the score sheet again. And Liverpool to win this game was 13-8. Nice enhancement, that one, out to 2-1 for Salah to score in a Liverpool win. I'm not sure, Andy, how Mauricio Pellegrino has survived, but Southampton are starting to get a few results. They beat West Brom 3-2 last weekend, and they've now gone 6 games without defeat in all competitions. But having said that, that win against West Brom was their first in 12 in the top flight. And he's had this bizarre rotation policy throughout the season. And if you look on the Southampton forums, they criticise Pellegrino for never getting his starting 11 right. And when one player comes in and has a fantastic performance, his reward is to sit on the bench the following week.
Yeah, it is a bit of a strange one with him. I don't really know what his plan is. I think he's still trying to work it out himself. And I think the Southampton fans are just mystified as to what's going on. We've got one I work with on a regular basis, and he's normally one who's ahead of the game, and he can't understand what's going on. So I really don't get it, what's going on there. But with Liverpool, I can't work them out either. Apart from Salah, who's maintained his form, it's just so unpredictable. You just don't know what to expect. So I've sort of gone back into history with this one, and the 5 of the last 6 games between the two have finished with a draw or one goal in it. So they're always close. So I wouldn't be overly getting involved in Liverpool here. Again, I might sit on the fence and find a draw out of this.
14-5, the draw in the game. I can see that as well. I think Liverpool odds on, Derek, and 3-4 is certainly odds on. It doesn't make much appeal to me.
No, it's a terrible price. I don't know if Liverpool are going down there with a view to beating Southampton or with a view to buying them. That's where all their players come. Liverpool's theatre club. They beat them in the Anfield 3-0 earlier in the season. A bloodless victory, really. Southampton were poor. But I've seen them recently, the Saints, a couple of times in against Spurs, and I'm being impressed. Once when they got beat 4-5-2, and I was actually impressed with them. And more recently when they drew with them. And the thing about Liverpool is, right, you know, this is the kind of game Liverpool will lose after a good performance. Remember they beat Manchester City 4-3 a few weeks ago. Everybody was saying how brilliant they were. Yeah. Unbelievable. And then they lost to Swansea the following game. Earlier in the season, they beat Arsenal 4-0. Everybody was saying how brilliant they were. The next game, they lost 5-0 at Manchester City. It seems like publicity goes to their head. Hype goes to their head. And I can't back them or odds on at this. This is a tough game for them. Southampton are getting him back into form a little bit. 6 games without defeat. That's not bad. That's not bad for a team like Southampton. I just don't trust Liverpool. I can't trust them in pitches like this. And I actually think Southampton, after 2 seasons of being criminally underpriced, are actually overpriced in this game. I really do. And I'll be backing them. I think Liverpool are beatable. And one thing I will say, I know that this is maybe for a Monday moan from me, but everybody's going to town about Mo Salah, etc. Now, he scored 2 good goals on Sunday, no doubt about it. For the other 93 minutes, he stunk the place out. He did. It was a nightmare performance by Mo Salah. Glossed over by the fact he scored a couple of good goals. Now, where you stand on that side of the argument is, are goals everything in a game? No, I've said for 40 years you need more. And so I'm in a minority here, a minority of one.
It is really a minority of one, Derek, on this one as well.
But I will give you a couple of things. I'll give you. Remember the Clive Allen season when he scored 49 goals for Spurs? Unbelievable, that one. Absolutely unbelievable. He stunk. He was essentially rubbish. I knew that when he was scoring all those goals. Sure enough, halfway through the next season, he was palmed off to Bordeaux. When the goals dry up for Mo Salah, as they will do, he will contribute nothing. But yeah, I've said it.
Wow. Wow. That's a precursor of what's to come with the McGovern Minute. Don't tune out, listeners. Mo Salah, no good. Okay, Southampton versus Liverpool. One nugget here as well, if you're looking for a goal scorer bet. Sadio Mane is 13-8 to score any time in this game. He's got 6 in his last 5 Premier League appearances at St Mary's for Liverpool. So that's a good one if you're looking for a goal scorer in the game. And we finished the football this weekend with Chelsea versus West Brom. This is an 8 p.m. kickoff on Monday night. Chelsea 1-3 to win this game. The draw 4-1, West Brom 8-1. Eden Hazard to score and Chelsea to win was even money. That's been enhanced to 5-4. And Daniel Sturridge to score and West Brom to win was 14-1. That's been enhanced to 20-1. Derek, we'll be speaking more about Antonio Conte with Joe Prince-Wright from NBC Sports very shortly. But those last two performances from his team have been beyond bad. A 3-0 loss at home against Bournemouth, followed by a 4-1 defeat away against Watford. This is one I'm sure when we speak to Andy about this game in a few moments, he'll be thinking, let's get these beat this weekend at 1-3 Chelsea.
And I've got a feeling they will be beaten as well, because if they couldn't bounce back after that horror show against Bournemouth, why should they bounce back after the horror show we saw last week? It won't happen. The whole season's gone pear-shaped. The players don't seem to be turning in for the manager. And Eden Hazard, probably my favourite player in the Premier League, he seems to be more interested in just flicking than giving the ball away now. I've watched him in disbelief in recent performances, how wasteful he is. The players don't seem to be turning it in for the manager. The manager seems to be wanting to be anywhere else. West Brom are putting in together a decent run of form. Remember that FA Cup win against Liverpool recently? They're not dead and buried like everybody was tipping them to be, a couple of weeks ago. I'm almost fancying them here at 8-1. I think Chelsea are in crisis. Let's not beat about the bush. They are a team in crisis. They're not going to finish in the top four. They're going to get put out the Champions League shortly by Barcelona. The manager will be going soon. I'm sure about that. I'm going to go for West Brom here at 8-1.
8-1, the baggies for Derek. I disagree with Derek. West Brom aren't surviving. 4 points adrift. They've got one of the worst managers in the Premier League leading this team as well. I don't see, Andy, how they make up that ground.
No, it'll be a struggle for them. Although, you're still kind of looking at Brighton and thinking they might continue to drop, although they found a result or two recently. There's one or two teams above them that really aren't that great, so they probably wouldn't have to do that much. Chelsea, to me, I've seen it all season. The players are only interested in what they want to achieve in their careers. They're not playing for the manager. They're only going to turn up for Champions League games, and they've got a tough tie coming up in that sphere. So, really, they're all starting to look towards a World Cup already, and they're really not bothered. That's how I see it. And you could only... Whilst I'm not convinced about West Brom's recovery, at the prices available here, you could only be with West Brom.
How heartwarming it was to hear harmony amongst DK, Andy and Dell last week, giving each other their naps. It was a beautiful moment. How I chortled when it was ultimately futile, as all three bets lost. There's really only one winner at the moment, our very own Starman, with 3 winning naps on the spin, leading the table by over £40. We salute you, Al Ross.
Naps, chaps, for this weekend. Derek, let's start with you.
Crystal Palace, 12-5 to win at Everton.
12-5 Palace to go to Goodison and get 3 points. Andy?
I'm going for the score draw in the North London Derby, Spurs and Arsenal.
Spurs and Arsenal?
16-5 score draw.
Like it, 16-5. I'm going to go with City to win the game against Leicester, but both teams to score in that match at 6-4. So Palace at 12-5, draw and both teams to score. Spurs versus Arsenal, 16-5. And City at 6-4. This week's punt treble pays just over 34-1.
Now at William Hill, you can get your bet onto the website for featured matches. If there's a bet you fancy that's not on the app, just tweet with the hashtag YourOdds to @WilliamHill and the traders will try to price it up. Hashtag YourOdds from William Hill.
Now it's a pleasure to welcome for the first time onto the podcast Joe Prince-Wright, the lead football writer and editor for NBC Sports. Joe, first of all, a warm welcome, a very good morning to you.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. Great to make the debut and certainly got plenty to talk about, haven't
we? Yeah, we have. I noticed on your Twitter bio it said soccer writer, but I refuse to call it soccer, Joe, so we're going with football here.
We won't use the S word.
We're going to start by talking about Antonio Conte. I saw you write an article about Conte a couple of days ago. He's now 8-15 to be the next Premier League manager to leave here with William Hill. And he's actually 4-11 to be not in charge for the last game of this season. What's happened with Antonio Conte? It's unbelievable to think that this man led Chelsea to the title in his debut season. That seems like an eternity ago now, Joe.
Oh, it really does. And we've seen it in the public eye, this sort of unravelling methodically, quite slowly. But it all goes back to, I think he wanted more control. You know, he signed the contract back in the summer, no extended period of time, same 3 years. He wants more control, but he's a key cog, but he's just a cog in the system at Chelsea. This recruitment system, these transfer dealings, you look at Bakayoko, Morata, the two big money signings in the summer. Haven't really worked out due to injuries and loss of form. You've got people like Ross Barkley coming in January and Olivier Giroud. Are they really the long-term answers for Chelsea to get to that next level? Because we saw, you know, they won the league comfortably in the end last season. No one expected that, so you have to give Conte so much credit for that. But you just look at United and City and other teams around the Premier League. They really rejuvenated their squad, spent a lot of money, and you feel like Chelsea didn't do that. So it's gone wrong, and right now it looks like he'll be out. The negativity around Chelsea is at their training ground earlier on this week, and just the fans and other people connected to the club, there's just a bit of a sad vibe at the moment, to be honest. But look, they can still finish in the top four, do well in the Champions League, maybe win the FA Cup. It's not all doom and gloom, but it certainly isn't looking anywhere near as rosy as it was last season. And it's just all about the hierarchy, really. Are they going to keep taking these comments and these digs from Conte in his press conferences? Because he's been very forthright. He's not been scared of saying what he thinks about the recruitment policy, asking for the club to back him. And I don't think they have, really. And that's the main problem here. I don't think he has strength in that squad from last season, particularly when they've had European games as well to deal with.
Derek, Joe talks about those press conferences. We've all seen those press conferences with Antonio Conte recently. And it strikes me as if he's almost daring Roman Abramovich to sack him. He doesn't seem bothered at the moment whether he stays or goes. He knows he's going to get a big payoff if they do get rid of him. And having given his players a few days off following that abysmal performance against Watford last weekend, I'm not sure he's bothered.
No, he wants to go. He's playing for the sack, isn't he? Every public utterance he makes has got a subtext to it. You know, sack me now. What are you doing? Still keep paying me. I want to go. And I think the players would be happy if he got the payoff because they're not turning their in for him. If you were a manager and you wanted the sack, you would do exactly what Conte is doing right now, challenging your owners, challenging the guy who pays your wages. He knows he's not going to get any more from this team. The signings haven't been good enough. Morata, Bakayoko, Giroud, that's not a signing for a team that's got any title pretensions. Just not good enough. And, you know, we've seen it before, what happens at Chelsea. As a Premier League manager, the worst thing you can do for job security is win the title, especially the club you're managing when you win the title is Chelsea. They've done it with Mourinho. Sacked him when he won it. They've done it with Ancelotti. Sacked him after he won the title. They're going to sack Conte. He won't last the season. What's interesting about Chelsea is that when he got rid of Ancelotti and when he got rid of Mourinho first time around, and indeed second time around, you could see they still had money to burn. They were still buying big players. They were still a high rollers. But they're not now. Abramovich seems to make every pound a prisoner now. And you're thinking, if Conte goes, who are they going to get? Which top-level manager is going to want to go to Chelsea now? Now that they seem to be a back number, they're not going to dominate anymore. This is a real period of worry if you're a Chelsea fan.
Yeah, and Joe, with that, talking about Abramovich and his influence on Chelsea and Derek used the line there that every pound is a prisoner, which I thought was a very, very good line to describe how Abramovich is managing the hierarchy at Chelsea Football Club at the moment. And Giorgio Chiellini, who was a major success under Antonio Conte when he was at Juventus, he's come out with some very interesting quotes during the week saying that if you sign Antonio Conte as your coach and then as the owner you want to start making decisions, he's not the coach for you because he is so combative, Antonio Conte.
Yeah, and that's spot on, to be honest. I mean, you can see some of the fights he's picked with Mourinho and others earlier on this season. He seems to be in a much more combative mood now in his second season in England compared to, you know, last season. He's a bit more jovial, but we saw how ruthless he was getting rid of Diego Costa. David Luiz hasn't played for most of this season. And it seems like that's translated now that he hasn't got any more fights to pick with the squad. He's fighting it with the ownership. And I just feel like Conte feels that he's not wanted at Chelsea. And as Derek rightly said, he looks like a man who wants to leave, but he's not going to leave on his own accord. He's not going to cost himself, you know, a hefty payoff that he's going to get from Chelsea. But look, I still think that when all is said and done, we'll look back on Conte's time at Chelsea as a success if he does leave between now and the end of the season. Winning the title last year was an incredible feat and bought him a lot of time, really, because you know, no one expected that from Chelsea, that bounce back from that horrendous season they had before. But look how much time it's actually bought him. Not really that much in the grand scheme of things. So, yeah, Conte is a really intriguing guy to speak with, and he's always sort of, call him a, you know, a player's coach, and his players always seem to be on his side, but it doesn't seem to be that way at Chelsea, and it kind of points towards that whole player power, and they don't want to play for him anymore, it seems, and we saw that against Watford and against Bournemouth, and you know, when they're playing against West Brom, they're the last team to play in this match week, and all of a sudden they could be out the top four by then, but Chelsea haven't lost back-to-back Premier League home games since November 2011, so there is that, but if they were to do that, then it could be curtains for Conte as soon as the next week or so.
He is 8-15 to be next Premier League manager to leave, and he is 4-11 not to last the season at Chelsea, Antonio Conte. We'll move on from Conte and talk about the Champions League, which gets back in gear midweek. Looking forward to the Champions League almost more than ever, Joe, with five English clubs making the knockout stages. And here with William Hill, we've got betting on which British team is going to progress furthest. And as you would expect, Manchester City are 4-5 with that plum tie against Basel to go furthest in the Champions League. Liverpool are 7-2, Manchester United 7-2, Spurs 8-1 and Chelsea 12-1. An English club to win the Champions League, Joe, is only 5-4 with William Hill, with five of them through to the knockout stages. The bookmakers almost expect a British team to win the Champions League this season.
Oh, it seems that way. I think mostly to do with Man City, right? Because it's, you know, looking at it, they have to be the favourites up there with Barcelona. And then the winner of the Real Madrid Paris Saint-Germain tie. Out of the English teams there, the only team that I can really see struggling to get through to the quarterfinals is Chelsea. Obviously, having Barcelona being at home in the first leg is a big disadvantage through their failure to win their group. But Tottenham as well, very tough to play against Juventus, but it may suit Pochettino's men that they go on the road to Turin in the first leg and then they can take them back to Wembley, maybe level or with a slight deficit, and you fancy their chances with the big European nights against Real Madrid and Borussia Dortmund so far. So, yeah, I mean, it looks good for the English clubs. Obviously, having five teams in the last 16 says it all. But Man City, for me, are the favourites for this competition. The way they play, and they have the luxury, unlike all these other Premier League teams who are fighting for the top four still, that they can rest players, you know, going into these Champions League weeks. Where you look at Liverpool this week, can they really rest players against Southampton going into their game in the Champions League? I don't think they have that luxury. So for Man City, yeah, I'd go for them.
11-4 Manchester City to win the Champions League. Do you think some of these teams, Derek, as well, set up well in Europe? You look at Liverpool, a team that don't want much possession. They want to hit teams on the counter-attack. That, I mean, I think the European style will suit a team like Liverpool. We've seen Spurs, as Joe's mentioned, they've had big European nights already in this competition this season. And Manchester United, they have a bit of pedigree under Mourinho, who loves a cup competition like this.
Yeah, you do. I think you're probably right about Liverpool. They've probably got a better chance in Europe than they have at home. This style is suited to catching teams on the break. They've got a tough game against Porto next week, of course, but, you know, it's winnable. It's a winnable two-legged tie there. Yeah, you remember Klopp as well. No one expected him to take Dortmund to the final a few years ago. And you'd argue that Liverpool, the squad he's got at Liverpool is better than the squad he had at Dortmund there. So, yeah, they've got a squeak there. But the bet you mentioned there, you know, which English team will go furthest? City are 4-5. Well, they've got a bye, haven't they? They're playing Basel. That's a bye. They're the best British team by a mile. English team by a mile. They've got the easiest draw by a mile. Yeah, they're the shortest price by a mile at 4-5 to go furthest. But they should be the shortest price by at least about 8 miles because it's an absolute certainty that they will go the furthest. Tottenham could easily go out against Juventus. In fact, I think they will. Chelsea are out. They're playing Barcelona and the crap. Man United, not good enough. In fact, I fancy Seville to go a long way in this competition, by the way, United's opponents. Liverpool, no certainty to go through against Porto, but even if they go through, you can't see them getting any further than City. You might argue, well, yeah, but City might play Real Madrid in the next round, or Bayern Munich, or Barcelona, but so could Liverpool. If Liverpool play those teams, they ain't going to go through. City could go through against those teams. You've got 4-5 City to progress furthest of the English teams, or 5-4 for an English team to win it. Come on, the 4-5 is a miles better bet.
Okay, 4-5 for City to progress furthest in the Champions League. And Joe, just before you leave us on the podcast, you'll be at Wembley for the big game this weekend. 12:30 kickoff on Saturday, Spurs versus Arsenal in the North London Derby. And myself and Derek talked about this game earlier on in the podcast, but I think you're going to be royally entertained with this one. It should be a cracker, this game.
Absolutely. I'm expecting a high-scoring game, considering how both teams have played recently and the big games against fellow top six. I think I'm going to go for a 2-2 draw in this one. I see a lot of goals. I look at Aubameyang's done very well against Tottenham, scored 4 goals in his 4 previous games against Spurs. So for whatever reason, he likes to play against them. Harry Kane loves to play against Arsenal, 6-6 in the Premier League. And you just feel like the clouds lifted a little bit from Arsenal. You've got, you know, Aubameyang, Mkhitaryan coming in, Ozil's new contract. I don't want to say it's the dawn of a new era. We've been here quite a few times of Arsenal, but there's definitely more optimism around them. And if they can get that win early on in the Premier League weekend, then they're right back in the top four race. But I think Tottenham will have enough to hold them at bay. They've done very well recently in these Premier League games against Arsenal. Lost just one of the last 7. So I think we're looking for an end to that. And as we've seen in a lot of these top 6 battles recently, that's been the name of the game. So yeah, should be a good one at Wembley.
Hi, this is Pete Farries, and for my nap of the week this week in the Championship, I'm hoping to carry on some good form from last week. I'm going to take Derby County at 21-20 to beat Norwich. It was Norwich's bitter rivals Ipswich Town who were last to beat Derby. That was back on the 28th of November. It just goes to show you just how good Derby's form has been. And yes, they haven't won all of their last 5 at home. They've won 3 and drew 2, but the 2 they've drawn, Sheffield United and Bristol City, and they've won the rest to nil, 2-0, 3-0 and 3-0 again. This is a Derby County side who right now look like they're really well poised to challenge Wolves at the top of the table and really well poised to get back into the Premier League. And for me, Norwich, as much as they've won 3 of the last 4 games away from home without conceding, are not going to have enough to get past a brilliant looking Derby side. So it's Derby for me at 21-20. Let's hand over to Gav Pozhalovsky for his thoughts on League One.
There's a number of odds on prices that I'm avoiding this weekend. Wigan 8-13 away at Southend, no thank you. Blackburn 6-10 at home to Oldham, no thanks. Bradford at home to Bury odds on, no thank you. And Shrewsbury at home to Inform Plymouth, no thank you. And Blackpool at 10-11 at home to Walsall, definite no thank you on that one. Blackpool at home, their last victory, yeah, October, mid-October last year. It's been a long time since Blackpool tasted victory at home. I don't fancy them at 10-11. Walsall are way too big at 3-1. But before we play them, Walsall at 3-1, they've not won away since the 25th of November. So two sides who generally don't win games of football, Blackpool at home, Walsall away from home. And the last 2 meetings between these two sides, yep, 1-1 and 1-1. And that is exactly the play between Blackpool and Walsall. It will be the score draw if it's a draw as well. Blackpool have failed to score in just 1 of 5 at home, and Walsall have failed to score in just 1 of 5 away from home. So could go for a 1-1. It could be a 2-2. Blackpool's last two games at home, both draws. I tell you now, my nap, Blackpool-Walsall, the draw at 12-5. Looking at League 2, here's Al Ross.
Now, you could back against the sides who were in midweek FA Cup action. I wouldn't necessarily say that's a bad idea. Forest Green could win at Newport, who played Spurs on Wednesday, and Barnet, who I've been successfully backing against recently, could even stun Notts County after their thrashing on Tuesday. You make a case for either of those, but neither are making the nap because none of those interest me as much as Crawley do. Now, Crawley are a side I've been wary of, but they're on a run that can't be ignored. 6 wins in 7 in League 2, 4 wins in 5 at home, and with the team's upturn comes Enzio Baldovines. He's on a run of 7 goals in 8. And there are as many reasons to back Crawley as there are not to back their opponents, Grimsby. I've said this before, I like Grimsby, I like Russell Slade, but I know a team on the slide when I see one. Since they lost to Luton 2-0 on December 23rd, they've only got 3 draws. That's last week, 3 games previously, and on Boxing Day, and 2 of those draws came at home. They're away this week. And in that time, they've lost to the likes of Accrington, Crewe, Morecambe, Newport, Luton, Yeovil. Put another way, Grimsby's points total from December and January and February combined is lower than the points total from Crawley's last 3 games. Plus, Crawley are a physically strong team and Grimsby have issues keeping 11 men on the park. Mitchell Rose is suspended for this game, one of 3 Grimsby players to get their marching orders in their last 5 games. I can only assume Crawley's poor start to the season and subsequent mid-table league position is the reason for the excellent odds against price on the home side here. Crawley are 6-5.
That's it. Thank you for listening to this week's edition of the Punt Podcast. It was a pleasure to have Joe Prince-Wright from NBC Sports making his debut on the podcast at JPW_NBC Sports if you want to check out the latest articles from Joe. Thank you, of course, to Derek McGovern, Andy Excel, Pete Farris, Gav Pushlowski, and Al Ross, and of course Sam Norris for his contributions. I'm not thanking Lee Phelps for that Naps table update. I didn't enjoy that one little bit. Remember to check out all the odds for the matches this weekend as well by going to williamhill.com. Alternatively, check it out on the William Hill app. Plenty of markets available ahead of this week's football. Don't forget, if you want to find us on audioboom.com, just type in the Punt, and this podcast is delivered to you in the usual podcast places as well. Thank you once again for listening, for tuning in, and we'll be back on Monday ahead of the Champions League.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.